Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Grant sets his offense 3 feet above the three-point line, left side. Tosses up to Simmons. Here comes the paint invader. Down the lane, throws it at the rim. No good, but flying in there, Mo Bamba. Got a hand on it. Stick back, good Mo. Give me Mo of that. 43-36 Orlando. 7-point Magic lead.
Well, I will tell you what, they call it the Lone Star State for a reason, and sometimes wins just feel bigger there because they don't come in large quantities. You take a look at that San Antonio Spurs team yesterday. That team had only lost 8 times last year inside their home building. And what the Magic do? They walked in there and they walked out with a big W. And it was a lot of fun last night. Aaron Gordon had 26 points on the night, and the Magic accumulated, how about this, 28 assists. We're going to talk about that. But tonight they attempt to go back-to-back as they welcome in kind of a strange, kind of a frustrating, kind of a perplexing enigma that is the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is a team that, going into the campaign, had high hopes. They were optimistic about where they would be when the Eastern Conference finally shook out. They were jockeying for that 7th and 8th seed. We'll talk about where they are, where they enter today's basketball game. It is a 7 o'clock tip time tonight down at the Amway Center. That means we get underway on the network with Magic Tonight and Brandon Kravitz in, about 29 minutes, if my math is correct. He'll have Magic Tonight, and then at 7 o'clock, Richie Adubato and Dennis Newman will be on the call as the Magic attempt to go back-to-back tonight as they attempt to crawl one game closer back to 500. But that is something that's interesting, right? What happens with a franchise when you lose a star player and when you lose perhaps your biggest asset? How do you pick yourself up, and when do you know is the right time to kind of make certain decisions that your franchise needs to make? Those are the things that we're going to talk about here on today's show. So the call-in number is 407-447-2145. That's 407-447-2145. If you're listening in your car, save it in your iPhone. Don't continuously put it in. Then it's easier just to call it, to ring it, to get into the show. This is your show, which means we want to hear from you guys. The text line is 50857. That's 50857. And I think you guys know where today's conversation is going. Yes, it's building off last night's win. It's moving on to today. But it's also about what in the world is this Cleveland Cavaliers team doing?
What's trending now?
The Cleveland Cavaliers have been completely decimated since LeBron James left. You've got Kevin Love is now injured. J.R. Smith wants a trade. Kyle Korver wants a trade. And now there is this information from Joe Barton of The Athletic. He reported, quote, "It's becoming increasingly clear that when you hear a Cavs veteran talk about younger players not knowing their role or knowing how to win or what to do on the court, they mean Sexton. Throughout the organization, the line on Sexton is that he does not know, quote, know how to play, end quote." Jalen Rose, what does this leak? What does all of this, what does this tell you about what's going on at Cleveland?
This is a classic example of an imperfect storm. You have a collection of veterans who filled roles admirably alongside LeBron James to help lead this team to 4 straight NBA finals and 1 NBA championship. Now you lose Kevin Love because he's out due to injury. J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, Kyle Korver, all of these guys are on big contracts.
And they,
but yet, they're not able to consistently perform on a nightly basis and help lead the team to victory.
You know, sometimes in life, you just don't know when to let go. Like, when a good thing has had its run and it's time to just say goodbye, to wave, to say sayonara. It's like with the WWE and Brock Lesnar, right? They hold that championship for a year and the fans get tired of it and you just let it go on 2 months too long. And for the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're in a similar situation and they're in a similar outcome of where that is going. This is a team that has assimilated a roster that is still fielding LeBron's strengths, right? This was a roster that was built around things that would help LeBron James succeed. And I think at the end of the day, what we're all realizing heading into this new season is that LeBron James is easily the best player in the NBA today. He was easily the best player in the NBA last year, and he might be the best NBA player of all time. And there is no doubt about it after watching this Cleveland Cavaliers team this year. You look at the cast of characters that this team has. Same ideal group that went to an NBA Finals last year, right? Rodney Hood, George Hill, You still have Kevin Love. Granted, he's out. J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver. These are all kind of the core pieces that are with this Cleveland Cavaliers team. And what does this group walk into the Amway Center with today? A ledger that reads 1-8 and 0-4 out on the NBA road. And while the record is something, the record is frustrating and disappointing from a lot of levels for Cleveland. This is a team that had aspirations about where they would be kind of by the time that the season had shook out, right? This was a team that expected to be jockeying for that 7 or 8 seed in the Eastern Conference. But what they're realizing is life without LeBron James is really, really hard. And that where all your deficiencies were, that a player like that can cover them up. And I think that's something that a lot of NBA teams have been forced to deal with and forced to learn. Players like that, that are generational talents, don't come along very often. And in fact, when you do have them, you need to learn to appreciate them for what they are. The Magic have been fortunate enough that in their short time span, they have had 4 generational talents, right? Penny Hardaway, Shaquille O'Neal, Tracy McGrady, Dwight Howard. And what you learn each time is that each time one of them departs, it's a little bit harder to pick up the pieces and get back to that level. And Cleveland had this great idea of running it back with the same roster and trying to field that 7 or 8 seed. So I want to hear from you guys. 407-447-2145. That's 407-447-2145. The text line, 50857. That's 50857. But with the way that things have shook out so far for this Cavs team, are you now convinced that LeBron James is indeed the best player in the NBA? Because I don't even think it's an argument. You can sit here and you can say championships. You can sit here and say, well, Kobe did this with the Lakers, that everybody else did this. No. With what LeBron James did with that roster last year, that is speaks volumes for the level of player he is and where he can take a franchise. Okay, 407-447-2145-50857. Let's go ahead. Let's go to the phone lines. I believe we have Josh on the line. Josh, how's it going, my man?
Hey, Aaron, big fan. How you doing?
Oh, good. And yourself?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm really, you know, in tune with the conversation today. And you preaching, man. You preaching really early this afternoon. LeBron is definitely, you know, the best player of this generation. And, you know, and he shows it just by leaving the Cavaliers, as you said, taking that garbage team to the finals and going out to L.A. Now he's Hollywood, James.
It's vacation LeBron, which is what it is. You know, he's had his time. And, Josh, thank you so much for the call. That opens up a phone line, 407-447-2145. That's 407-447-2145. But, you know, Josh really spoke to how certain players have the ability to uplift a roster, to take a group of players and make them better. And ultimately, that is what all-star players do, is that when they look around them and they see the strengths of a certain guy, they know how to help a player out. And that is one thing that this Cleveland team is struggling with. And I think it's part of the reason that they've had such a divide. And you can hear it in the way that their new interim coach speaks, Larry Drew, and you can hear it in the way that some of their veteran players speak, and J.R. Smith. And earlier today, you know, they're kind of learning what their deficiencies are because they didn't have to look at them last year because they had a player that could cover them up, and Larry Drew spoke about that this morning.
You know, we'll keep practicing. We'll keep going through it. It's just not going to happen overnight. I wish that it would, but I think they're conscious of it. I certainly think they're conscious of it. And it's something that you know, we just as a staff, we just have to continue harping on it.
And people will say, how does a team that has gone to 4 straight NBA finals have this many deficiencies just with that one player? Because that one player did everything for you. And when you construct a roster and build it around him, then other guys' flaws are covered. I mean, you look at it. Points this year, 25th. 106.1 opponents' points per game, 25th. 117.9. Their defensive rating is the worst in the league at 30th at 120.2. Their pace of play is 27th. This was a team that was designed to play at a slower pace so that LeBron didn't have to do as much getting up and down. This is also a team that was built with shooters around him that, at the same time, they're jockeying with maybe what their roles are. And earlier today, J.R. Smith spoke about that very same thing.
The team's in a very weird place right now, and we got to figure it out, whether it's a players-only meeting, coaches in front office meeting, whatever it is. We got to figure it out and let everybody know what their individual role is and what they expect.
Figure it out. That is a very tough thing for a veteran to sit there and have to say. Because a team like J.R. Smith, he's been to four straight NBA finals with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've had their glory years. They've had their run. And yet he's using the words figure it out with the same kind of core. It's because he didn't have to figure it out with LeBron James at the helm. You didn't have to worry about that with a player of that magnitude. And honestly, it's a tough thing to go through for any franchise. It's very difficult. Cleveland's going through it now. The Magic have been through it before. You sympathize with them, but you also realize that how hard it is to pick up those pieces. Okay, 407-447-2145 is the call-in number. That's 407-447-2145. The text line, 50857. If you have a comment, if you have a call, give us a call, give us a tweet. We're going to break in the second segment. My predecessor now in Cleveland, Jake Chapman, will join the show. We'll talk about some of the dysfunction going on in this Cleveland Cavaliers team. We'll also talk about tonight's game between the Magic and the Cavs. It should be a fun one down at the AC.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Hey, welcome back. Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center rolls along. Segment number two, Magic getting set for a 7 o'clock tip time tonight as they welcome in the Cleveland Cavaliers, who reside at 1-8. They're 0-4 out on the NBA road. And to talk about how good these Cavaliers are this year, it is 92.3 The Fan's very own, my predecessor, the one and only Jake Chapman. But Jake, before we kind of dive into all that and unpack everything that is the Cleveland Cavaliers, I have to ask you, are your Browns okay after the beating that they took at the hands of my Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes yesterday?
Oh, that's right, Aaron. I forgot that you were
that
a
is true.
Chiefs fan. Actually, something just came up, so you're going to have to find another guest for this segment. It's funny, Aaron, only the Browns could lose by 16 points and people would come away encouraged. Obviously, Hugh Jackson relieved of his duties last week. Greg Williams in. Nobody thinks Greg Williams will be the long-term coach, but we were just happy they didn't quit in the second half of the game yesterday. You saw some good things from the offense. And so, yeah, we just got done doing our show a couple hours ago, and people didn't complain that much, which is kind of strange. Those Chiefs are good, and Mahomes is the real deal. And there were a couple of throws in that game, Aaron. I was like, boy, if I can get 85% of Patrick Mahomes from Baker Mayfield at any point in his career, we're going to be fine with our guys. So, yeah, another long season by the lakefront in Cleveland.
I was going to say, I think the throw that you're talking about is the one that he had to Travis Kelce in the end zone, another Cleveland guy, and Kareem Hunt also showed up in that game too. So it was good to see two Cleveland guys show up for the hometown crowd. But I guess my follow-up question to that is, which one of these franchises is in more disarray right now? Is it the Cavs or is it the Browns?
Well, and I'll throw the Indians at you. I mean, we got reports coming out over the weekend that they're open for business. They might trade some of their starters, whether it's Kluber or Carrasco. Ownership is not in a very good place in this town. And it's funny because a lot of parallels are drawn between Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, and Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavs, that they're both a little too meddlesome. Yes, they'll cut checks, but people just want them to get out of the way. Well, the Indians are kind of on the flip side of the spectrum. They're pretty cheap owners, and they do a good job of staying out of the baseball operation. That's why the Indians are the best run franchise in town. It's a mess. The Cavs are a mess. The Browns are a mess. And all anybody wants is hire good people in your front office and get the hell out of the way. And it doesn't seem like the Browns or Cavs are doing that.
Okay, let's talk about this Cavaliers team, because I do think this is a team that's trying to learn to play without the best player in the NBA. And I think that's something very hard. And this is something that we talked about in segment number one. But with this roster and this contingent mostly back from the glory years and LeBron, it is essentially the same exact team, but yet you look at it, and this is a team that is struggling so mightily without him. How much does that prove that LeBron, without a doubt, is the best player in the NBA, and it's not even close?
Well, I mean, the postseason last year was all I needed to see to know that LeBron is still the best player in the NBA. And really, Aaron, to me, the problem with the Cavs is they were too dumb to see that. I mean, to to say we're going to give Kevin Love this massive deal and we're still going to try to compete for the eighth seed. And, you know, the thing that's hanging over all this is the fact that the Cavs will lose their first-round pick this year if they don't finish in the bottom 10 of the league. It was clear that they needed to go young, to rebuild, to tear it down, to tank, whatever it is you want to call it. Everybody knew that that needed to happen immediately, and maybe it will by January. I mean, I think signing Love to the long-term deal and then he gets immediately hurt kills any trade value that he may have had. I don't know if he would have had a ton in the first place. You know, he feels like a player that kind of his best basketball is behind him and gets hurt every year. And so I don't know if you want to sign up for long-term money to a guy like Kevin Love. Maybe by January, they will have moved on from Kyle Korver and Tristan Thompson and George Hill and J.R. Smith and all the veterans that are left over. They had a good feeling all season that LeBron James is not going to return from everything I hear. And so that's why, you know, they did hold on to the pick that ended up being Colin Sexton and didn't blow it at the trade deadline. That's why they did bring in, you know, some younger players like Clarkson and Hood at the trade deadline last year, just to try to plan for life after LeBron. But life after LeBron should be going young and suffering through a couple of years and building through the draft. It shouldn't be trying to hold on to the eighth seed and getting stuck in NBA purgatory, and that's where they are right now. I think it's a really tough situation at the beginning of the year, and this is part of why Ty Lue got fired and part of what Larry Drew's going through right now. You need to showcase these veterans so that you can move them, so that you can turn them into assets, and so that if somebody wants to take on Tristan Thompson's contract, for instance, they know what they're getting, and they've seen, you know, recent work from him that shows what he's still capable of doing. So until trade season starts, it's going to be a really tough team to watch, and they're caught in between with those leftover LeBron veterans and the guys who actually will be here long term. And really, there's only a couple of those guys, Aaron. It's Jetty Osman and Colin Sexton. Aside from that, you got no clue what the future's going to look like.
I was going to say, I thought Joe Vardon of The Athletic penned a really good piece. What was it? It was either yesterday or right after the game on Saturday, about just kind of how much of a disconnect there is between some of the veterans and some of the younger players. How much of that disconnect also kind of occurred with the coaching staff and the front office between what Ty Lue wanted to do with some of those veteran players and what the front office wanted him to do?
Well, and that's the problem. It seems like, and Joe's a great reporter. He does an outstanding job. And it was Sunday morning. Saturday night, the piece was on The Athletic. And he did a great job with that. You know, it feels like part of what he wrote and what he reported was that when Kobe Altman signed Kyle Korver to his extension, he promised him if LeBron leaves, in the summer of 2018, we'll trade you. And we'll do it during the summer so that you have enough time to, you know, get your kids moved and go through all this stuff. And then they came to him this summer and they said, hey, we don't want to trade you. We want to try to compete and win this year, and we want you to be a part of that. Well, that's fine. And Korver signed the deal, and I understand you can kind of change your mind. But why did you say the thing in the first place?
Yeah.
Why did you make him any sort of a promise in the first place? And so I think what you have here is a top-down thing, and that's why Dan Gilbert does get called into question, where there is not a clear path for this organization. There's not clear defined roles for the players. And now you're running into a disconnect between Kobe Altman and the front office and your coaches. We haven't even talked about Larry Drew wanting security long-term and not calling himself the interim head coach. He's the voice of the team. It's been 2 weeks of madness. And really this was all set up from the top down. And I hate to say it's all Dan Gilbert's fault, but when you don't extend general managers and you try to cheap out on things like that, you end up with kind of a mess of an organization. That's what you have right now. I was reading an article the other day about Dwayne Casey in Detroit. And at the beginning of the season, he got every player in a room and he gave them all note cards that said, this is your role on the team. And I think the Cavs need an exercise like that. The problem is I don't think Larry Drew knows what the roles on the team is, and I think he probably is at odds with what the front office wants to do right now. I think Kobe Altman wants to sell tickets. I think he wants to promise and sell that they're going to be competitive, but he knows in the back of his head that they should probably bottom out this year. He just doesn't want to say it publicly.
And Jake, doesn't it sound like that maybe they did tell some of these veteran players what their roles were going to be, but it's just they haven't kept to that word? I mean, you mentioned Kyle Korver, but what about J.R. Smith as well?
Well, and you know what, in defense of all of them, maybe the plan absolutely was all along to compete, and they just did a really poor job of identifying the amount of talent that they have, because, you know, we all knew the team was going to suck, right? And
yeah.
So if you go through and you say all this stuff, and then you start 0-6, then maybe you have to change plans and maybe everything gets blown up because you started 0-6. But it was after game two that Ty Lue was supposedly informed that he needed to remove, you know, the veterans from the rotation. And the three specific veterans were Korver, J.R. Smith, and Channing Frye, who wasn't really playing much anyways. And then he decided, you know what, I don't care. My job is on the line. I'm going to play these veterans again. The problem is it doesn't matter. If the veterans play or don't play, the team is not very good anyways. So when you lose, everything is bad. And I'm sure there's some element of it's not quite as bad as it looks. All we have to do is fix things up. But another part of Joe Vardon's piece was that a lot of the veterans aren't crazy about Colin Sexton, the way he carries himself, the fact that he knows he's going to long-term be a part of the organization. They said, you know, the line around the organization is Sexton doesn't know how to play the game of basketball. Well, 19-year-olds typically don't know how to play the game of basketball. If you take the long-term look at it, you know, they're just going to have to take those lumps this year. He is absolutely going to be a part of the future. And if you're a veteran or if you're on the coaching staff and you thought that he was going to show up and be lights out, then, you know, you got another thing coming. I mean, it's not a young man's league, and only certain guys and special guys are able to be the eighth pick in the draft and have that kind of an impact in their rookie season.
Absolutely. And as a veteran, isn't that part of your responsibility to bring these young players along? Now, granted, these veterans didn't sign up for this. They didn't sign up to be a bottom five team in the NBA. But at the same time, if you want to have someone succeed and you want your team to succeed, isn't that part of your role is to bring them along?
Absolutely. And part of what Joe reported was that during the game the other night, George Hill said, like, loudly, I'll teach you how to play defense if you want, to Colin Sexton. And, you know, and for their part, it sounds like maybe Sexton isn't very receptive to coaching right now and all of that stuff. So, look, you know, not taking sides, I can understand the veterans being sold one line and then it starts really bad and everything goes south. You know, here's part of the problem. When you paid Kevin Love and you decided you were going to try to compete with Kevin Love as your best player, you didn't get a leader. Kevin Love's not a leader. He's going to do his own thing, and that's fine. That's his prerogative. He's just not a vocal leader in the locker room, a guy that a lot of people look up to. The few times I've been in so far this season in the postgame locker room when the Cavs were at home, the closest thing to a leader I've seen has been J.R. Smith. He at least is, like, you know, open and bubbly and talkative and talking to the kids as well as the veterans. And if J.R. Smith is the leader in your locker room, you're asking for a whole lot of trouble.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jake, it should be a fun one at the Amway Center tonight. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to come on. I know it was really short notice for you, but I really appreciate it.
Anytime, bud.
That was Jake Chapman of 92.3 The Fan. Go check him out on Twitter. Does a fantastic job there, at Jake Chapman 923. Magic and Cleveland getting set for a 7 o'clock tip time tonight. Magic tonight is just around the corner. We'll see you tomorrow with Dante back in his chair.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/go magic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.